Welcome back to In Search of Tarot, a podcast that examines, questions, and reimagines our approach to life and the cards.
Through guest interviews and in-depth discussions, we'll explore and expand the beautiful complexities of spirituality, philosophy, magic, and more.
I'm Nick.
And I'm Angie.
And we're your hosts for this fascinating ride.
Thanks for being here with us.
Hey, Angie.
Hey, Nick. How are you?
I'm good. You came back.
I am back. I will be coming back all the time. You can't get rid of me.
Yes, yes. All right. So, Angie, today's topic is advice that we would give our younger witchy selves when we were first kind of starting out down this path and down our own kind of magical path. So what do you think? Take it away.
Okay. So I thought there's several that I had to like kind of parse through because I feel like there's a lot that I would give my younger self. But I thought about this one and I just couldn't walk away from this particular thought. There's a lot of other ones about like, you know, needing magical tools or what my experiences were coming out of religion and Wicca and all of that stuff. No, I didn't come out of Wicca, just to clarify. But the thing that I wrote down was that this kind of walking into this spiritual path, at least it's spiritual for me, like it doesn't finish here. This path is evolving and fluctuating all the time. And pretty recently, I kind of had this aha moment where I thought about like how a spirit, God, whatever you want to call it, awe, how that has changed forms for me as I've grown spiritually and how my perception of God has really changed. And in the same vein, I've really sat with like, well, yeah, my ego has evolved too. You know, those demons have evolved. And because I did, right? God changed as I changed. My demons changed as I changed. And so I think that this practice, you know, what I would tell myself is that it's so important to name those demons, call on them, right? That's kind of like, there's a lot of lore around demons and their names and how you master them. And for me, that was like, you know, whether we're talking about them, like literally, or in this case, figuratively for me, like looking internally and finding those little dark corners of my psyche and pulling them out to investigate them, integrate them, is never a thing that just stops once you find spirituality. You know, experiencing higher states of consciousness doesn't make a person exempt from making really big mistakes that hurt people or environment or, you know, things around them. So I think that this path is one of like really getting your hands dirty sometimes. And getting your hands dirty means, you know, looking into the kind of gritty places in your own past and unconscious behaviors.
Yeah. Yeah. I love all that. I was kind of thinking about something that I know that we're planning to talk about in the future, which is, you know, the way that, you know, maybe we leave a spiritual path for a different one and sort of recreate what we're leaving behind, you know, and dogmatic, like, you know, coming from a more, myself coming from a more Christian upbringing and the dogma of that, and then kind of recreating those similar dogmatic structures, like just within magical practice, which I think a lot of, you know, particularly Wiccan, which there's, you know, no shade if you know, you're Wiccan or if you really, you know, vibe with that, but witchcraft where, you know, the rituals are highly, dictated and, you know, you have to follow the certain structure. It kind of recreates, you know, that similar, dogmatic belief. And so I think I would maybe say, guess I would say to kind of observe that in yourself, like as you're developing your practice, you know, are you recreating those things or are you listening to sources that are doing that? And do you agree with that? You know, just like, how do you feel? I also would say something I experienced was, you know, I was definitely drawn to magic and ritual and wanted to kind of dabble in that and get my, you know, feet wet in that. But I initially found, a lot of the more sort of quote unquote, like, kind of dark aspects of it. You know, particularly the shops that I would find and go into just like, didn't really feel like me. And yet, you know, I was feeling drawn to this and felt like there was something there, but I just was like, this feels kind of scary, honestly. Like it felt mm-hmm. like this feels foreign and kind of scary. And, what I've said before to friends is I just had to get to a place where I could trust myself to, like, you know, fall down a rabbit hole and not feel like I was going to get sucked in, you know? Yeah. So I could, you know, listen to this podcast or read this book or go in this shop and, you know, trust that I would know if that was for me or not. And even like maybe try, you know, like I remember early in my practice, you know, trying certain rituals and just being like, this doesn't really feel totally like me, or there's like this one particular element of the ritual that I really like. And so I'm going to keep that and mm-hmm. kind of not maybe hold on to the rest of this, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, did you experience any of that?
Yeah. I think that you're really speaking to my experience too, coming out of religion. It was just like, and this is true for the religion I grew up in, but also like I went right into yoga and spirituality, from there. And I think in both, there's a lot of kind of emphasis, maybe like an unspoken emphasis on ascension, get out of your body, transcend the body. And it was really interesting because I felt like, you know, I could never get away from that. I couldn't mm-hmm. escape it. And so it really interesting, like when I got to like really diving into those deep corners, that felt like truly liberating myself, was getting low to the ground and putting my ear, I'm kind of getting the like image of, you know, someone following footprints, right? Like you have to get low, you have to recognize these things, you have to like do some really deep listening, but you know, the grounding that has to happen. And I say grounding not kind of like the new age metaphysical way of like mm-hmm. you know, hugging trees and things like that, which that's great, that's wonderful too, but in the way that's like really deeply introspective and kind of going along with what you were saying of like trusting yourself to be able to come back on the other side. There mm-hmm. was a lot of that in Mormon culture. Don't read anti-Mormon literature because we don't want you to know it and you'll never come back.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, which is very like devil card, you know, and like, as we know, like the things that we repress, we just are kind of even more pulled towards. So it's like, you know, just let yourself kind of, you know, just trust and like check in with yourself along the way. And, you know, yeah. But, what else, what other pieces of advice would you give your younger self?
Oh my goodness. And so I would say that there is, I mean, and this kind of branches off of this next, the one that we just spoke about, but there is no one way. Mm-hmm. I think when I began, I was really subscribing myself to like, oh, well, yes, the moon is this, and you use the moon in this way. And, mm-hmm. You know, the only books back then that were really available were books on Wicca, or, you know, kind of like Celtic, belief systems. And there wasn't a whole lot outside of that, at least not that I could find in like bookstores and things like that. But there is so much to be found. There's so many ways and experiential ways too, you know, getting to know the herbs that are here in your backyard is no less spiritual than the ones that are, you know, you're ordering from a faraway place.
Yeah, definitely. And that kind of ties in with something I was going to share with tarot in particular. I think I would tell my younger self that I'm never gonna kind of know what the cards mean. You know, mm-hmm. I think like early in my practice, coming to tarot from, you know, completely out of the blue. I mean, like not having any kind of magical background or any basis for that from anyone in my life or anything, any context. I just approached it like you would anything else you were learning, where you're kind of trying to like memorize how to do it or sort of like get it right, you know? And, mm-hmm. And I mean, now I would tell myself, look, like these meanings, you know, that you know, these keywords that you're trying to memorize or whatever, they really don't really mean much. I mean, it's a starting mm-hmm. place, but like mm-hmm. you're going to spend the rest of your life, continuing to understand what the cards mean, or, you know, and that's going to change over and over and over. And that's really what it is to do tarot. You know, it's not about memorizing, you know, keywords or meanings. It's really developing a relationship with the cards.
And that's
going to change so much too. If and when you start reading for other people, you know, that's going to be very different and going to be very confronting in my experience. You know, there's going to be certain beliefs that you hold dear about the cards that are then not going to work when you, you know, read for other people, and you're going to have to figure out how to handle that and how to expand, you know, through that and trust yourself, you know, through that.
Yeah. It can be really difficult. It can be very jarring. And it's like, you know, looking back on your own journey, it's really easy to kind of cringe at things that you might've done. You know, or practiced, or things that you might have done with clients and then you've learned from. But it's okay to try things on. It's okay to let them fluctuate and evolve, right? And the same thing with like, you know, beginning in my journey, I was really big into crystals. And now I don't really feel as called to crystals. I work with a lot of different things now. And the same thing with deities. I don't work with the same deities as I do now. It's going to change. And the more that we can kind of move through that with, you know, giving ourselves that grace too, but allow things to move as we do.
Yeah. One of the questions I know people always ask is like, when did you know that you were ready, quote unquote, to kind of go public or to go professional, or, you know, like, when did you know that you were ready? How would you answer that question?
Oh gosh, I don't know. I don't know that there was ever like really a time where I considered myself ready.
Yeah.
I still, you know, am like, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't be doing this. But, you know, I think that just like anything else, there'll be times where you kind of go like, wait, I need a break. I need to kind of investigate that. And then other times where you feel like fully confident in yourself and your ability, and there is something that you can offer this person.
Yeah. You know? I kind of feel like if you're not ready, you're not going to be even thinking about it, you know? And then I think once you start to think about it, you're as ready as you'll ever be, you know, like, exactly. It's like, I mean, just might as well try. And like you said, like if it doesn't go well or it doesn't feel right, you can always stop. You know, it's not like you're like stuck with it, you know, but
exactly. Like, I mean, that's just information for you. You have that information now going forward to just be like, no, well, now I know what I don't want this to look like going forward.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's actually one of my favorite ways to think about intuition. I've heard Maria Menes when she spoke at last year's Search Your Solstice symposium. I was asking about intuition, and at the time I was really kind of questioning like the validity of the idea of intuition or just like its place, you know, within tarot and magic. And she said, well, I kind of feel like intuition, like when I feel intuition the most is when I know that I'm maybe not right about something or that I should stop and pause. You know, it's more of a sense of like, it's more of like a checks and balance system than it is like a green light, you know?
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. I just never thought of it that way. You know, cause we tend to kind of think of intuition as this whisper to like do something like rather than to not do something. So I just thought that was interesting. Yeah. And I guess the last thing I wanted to say in response to this was, you know, just sharing a bit about my own journey, which I've talked about before on here and with you, but I came to tarot through Jung and through trying to sort of heal at the time what felt like, you know, my like quote unquote divine masculine and kind of my father wounds. Mm-hmm. And now I obviously don't really believe in really any of that. I mean, at the time I was reading King, Warrior, Magician, Lover, and I was reading Iron John and sort of that mythopoetic masculine, you know, movement was really speaking to me. Someone in my family had recommended it to me and it really spoke to me. And now I feel extremely differently about that and would not repeat that journey. And people sometimes say, well, like, you know, then what do you say about that? You know, because it worked for you. And I say that I could do it again, just differently than I did it before, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I guess I just want to sort of share that, that I don't know. I mean, I don't know how to translate that necessarily into advice, because wherever you're at is obviously where you're at, and however you come into the tarot is, and to magic, is how you're going to come in. But I guess it goes to show that you're going to come in one way and maybe go out another, you know, and like, oh, you yeah. were saying, it's going to change, you know, like, just like any other beliefs you hold, it's going to ebb and flow. And also it's going to, like, you're going to be really feeling it, and then you're going to be really not feeling it. You know, mm-hmm. you're going to be doing it all the time, and then you're going to be kind of questioning it and not doing much of it. And that's going to keep changing.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, the transition space, like, we could talk forever about, like, that liminality that we feel when we're kind of between, but it's okay to be in that between, however kind of sticky it feels in the moment. It'll transition out and you'll find the next thing that does feel really, really good, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
The land is wide for exploration.
Yes. Anything else you want to share?
Yeah. You don't have to be good at it right away. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'll speak for myself here, like, my needing to have an answer for everything came from my kind of childhood wounds of, like, in order to feel taken seriously, I needed to read everything, know everything, speak mm-hmm. eloquently, and be very academic about the whole thing. For me, it was a big learning opportunity to realize that it was okay for people to see me thinking. It was okay for me to let it breathe and to admit that I didn't have all the answers. That's still, like, one of the most powerful things I think that I can admit, mm-hmm. especially when talking to a client, is that I don't have all the answers. I'm still gathering information, mm-hmm. and to offer yourself that grace as you explore this wide expanse of spirituality, because there's so much to see, to learn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's, for me, any teacher or any healer, quote unquote, that's acting like they have all the answers is not really someone you want to run in the other direction. Yeah. Red flag. Yeah. I also saw this great quote on Instagram the other day that said, if your teacher isn't a radical, good luck.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. There's this great saying, in that I learned through yoga, but I don't think it's a yogic teaching, specifically. It's if you find the Buddha on the road, kill him. Mm. And the way that they can kind of interpret that, there's several ways of interpreting it, but the way that I love to see it is, if you've ever felt like you've made it, you're all the way back at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Wow.
Like,
yes. Mm-hmm.
The things that we can learn when we feel like we've arrived. Yeah. All the way back.
That is so good for the world, like the world and the fool, you know, that is so good. Like, if you think you've made it to the end, you're all the way back at the beginning. I mean, that's mm-hmm. literally what happens. That's mm-hmm. really, really, really good. Awesome. Well, if anyone has any other specific questions, you know, if you're at the beginning of your journey with the cards or magic or anything related that you think we could have something to say about, please write us in. Like I said, the new email address is isotpod@gmail.com. And we'll be back in a couple of weeks with a new minisode, a new topic. Yeah. Thanks, Angie.
Yeah. Thanks, Nick. We'll see you later.
Thank you for listening to In Search of Tarot. You can follow Angie on Instagram at birdgirl_. That's BIRDGERHL_. And you can follow me, Nick, at In Search of Tarot. This podcast is independently recorded, edited, and produced by us, which means that we rely solely on the generous support of our Patreon backers to make this podcast happen. If you'd like to lend us your support, you can do so for as little as $2 a month over on patreon.com/insearchoftarot.